Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SAP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We talk guests every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 167702. To participate on the web, just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. And remember to use your Chrome browser. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you need to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGMES. And if you want to follow me on the Twitters, my podcast account is sfuoncall. That's sfuoncall. My personal account is Paul Franz. Obviously, if you follow me and you've listened to my description of this before, which is I talk about tech, being Catholic, and other things. So if that turns you off, don't follow that account. But if you do, to find me, just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. It's PAUFRANZ. There is no T in that. And if you follow my business account, which is Franz Games, which is FRANZGMES. And of course, these lovely talkcasts gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Quick news from ADB this week. This week, they completed the latest hailing frequencies and also communicated number 160. That was on the 13th. Also new to Warehouse 23, Drive-Thru RPG, and Wargame Vault this week was Capital Log number 44 with its color SSDs and its free supplement. Also, Steve Cole was busy working on Capital Log number 53. Also, art for the Grandmaster Starship book, various shapeways, and other projects. Steve Patrick was busy working on the SMB update. Shocker. And also the Grandmaster Starship book, which is good to see. And Samantha, the new graphics person for ADB, was busy working on to help release Hailing Frequencies and Communicate number 160. Gene, busy working on the GURPS Prime Directive revision. Also, on when it comes to that, if you are a person and you have played GURPS Spaceships 4E, please can contact with Gene. She's looking for some playtesters who know the system and actually have experience and playing it, so that the whole idea is that she wants to make sure I'm assuming she wants it to be consistent, and she wants to look at the revised chapters and make sure that they're in sync with your understanding of Spaceship and before they send it off, because I'm sure that if they send it off to the other Steve Jackson, and he sees it and goes, or probably Steve Jackson probably won't be reading it, probably one of his editors sees it, they'll probably go, here's what got wrong with that. He likes to avoid that. But she's been working with Facebook and also the Twitter feed, and of course proofreading Communicate number 160 before it went out, and uploading the PDFs to the various e-commerce sites. When it comes to moving on to the SME Line tournaments, the Masters tournament still stuck where it has been. I need to figure out the whole thing with Roger Reardon and that, and what we're going to do there. Rat 48 is finished. It's done. I need to send out a new email when it comes to Rat 49 so that we can have another tournament going. And guess who won? Seth Szymanski defeats Lee Graves in Hydran Civil War in the finals. Congratulations, Seth, on being the winner. Moving on to the library. Be happy I'm here. But yeah, I've been busy with the whole fire at the house thing. So if you've actually listened on the feed, you'll know that happened. I'm set up in new temporary housing and new microphone, and I'm sure you'll hear that I still don't have a pop filter, so you hear those things, and it's a little more echoey. But anyhow, when it comes to library progress, which is what I'm getting to, I haven't been able to get to it, though. I know I've got like 20 or 30 definitions which I have to process from Frank. Frank's been very good about that. I've been very bad about getting back to that. I will be getting to that, if not this weekend, because I'm going to be busy because of Easter and all. I will do my best to get to it this upcoming week so that I can report some progress, which I know I'm always pushing for. And you know, I think we will do a good job there. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one and the only Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, we've got Dave. I think we had Russ. I think I saw Russ hanging around. You know, he's still hanging around. Okay, just wanted to double check on that. And also tonight, for at least a short while, we have Barry Kirk. How you doing, Barry?
I'm doing fine.
As fine as you can be.
So what's the topic of discussion tonight? The
topic of discussion is Orion tactics. Tournament tactics. Of course.
Orion.
Yep. Orion's a little different than most, because here's the thing.
Yeah.
Because of it's an Orion, packages. You get two packages to choose from. And that means your actual armament can be specified by you to a certain degree. They had to modify the rules a little while ago on that one. Too many phaser G's, you know. Jeez. I think about it now. It's been a long time since they changed that rule. Because before you actually could have two of those, right?
It's been a decade that you could have more than one gap on a plan.
Yeah, I think it's been a bit of time. But basically, for normally when it comes to yeah, Dave, Barry is sick. When it comes to the Orions, and especially when it comes to their packages, normally you try as an Orion what you're going to do. If you choose Orion as your ship, what you're going to normally choose, you got two different packages usually. One is low power, very fast. So you can run around like a bat out of HE double hockey sticks. And then usually you have a more powerful package. And invariably, depends upon the player when it comes to those packages. Some of them are, okay, you got like a phaser Orion. Basically, all he has is he has four phaser ones and a phaser G. That's all he's got. He can run like crazy. It's low cost when it comes to power, and you can run around and easily. It's meant in my mind. It's meant purely for a Andro killer. Now I don't think that many people fly it against other ships, because it requires you to come really close. Yes, basically what you've got is okay. Now, because basically you've got eight phaser ones. It's what you've got. and the Phaser G. That's going to be really great if you get nice and close. But overall, you're not going to use it against, you know, most people. You don't want to get close, like a Zinni. You don't want to get close to a Zinni. Yes, you can use lots of shield reinforcement, but if they tractor you, you're deep trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and even though you can double your engines and do an anti-tractor, if you put enough to defeat a tractor when you get in close, that means you're not putting the same amount of energy into a shield to protect you from him to be beat up. So the Zinni wins either way. You know, if you don't put enough towards anti-tractor, and he puts a lot, and Zinni puts a lot towards anti-tractor, he's gonna nail you. You know,
I need to call it a night because that med is starting to kick in.
Okay. Right. Well, you have good night. You get well.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
So, you know, that's kind of crazy to do, you know. So normally people don't go as that crazy unless they know there's a drama in it about. And even today, I don't think it's really as required anymore. Obviously, it's in my mind, it's a good ship maybe against like a wind battle cruiser, you know, the auxiliary battle cruiser, or definitely not against the Fed, because the Fed, he wants to get in close anyway and have four fully overloaded photons firing at you at range two. You might not survive. Because, see, that's also one of the problems with the Orion. The Orion has very low, when it comes to hit points. Not hit points, but you know, the number of boxes in the ship. You know, it kind of reminds you, to a certain degree, it reminds you of the Andromeda. In that the Andromeda has a real hard shell, but as soon as you get past that shell, it's nice and gooey on the inside. It doesn't have, basically, it doesn't have that many internals versus like a Zinni ship. A Zinni ship has 140 internals or something along those lines. And when it comes to an Andromeda, you got like 80. And same for around Orion. I gotta find that one. I gotta find that Starfleet Times. I'm pretty sure they've got it on like Warehouse 23. I really go find it and buy it and download it, because that was one of the best Starfleet Times ever for tournament players. And I forget the number, because I know there was a Starfleet Times with it in it, because I bought every single Starfleet Times. I just don't know where they're. I know where they are at the moment. They're in my house. But anyhow, so normally when it comes to weaponry, normally what people choose is, well, one of the packages is kind of a heavy hitter kind of package. Like they'll have like a hell bore, maybe two photons, and at least one drone rack and one phaser. The reason why they even have a drone rack is basically the whole idea of the drone rack is to protect the hellbore from being killed on the first volley, because your tactics rely on that that hellbore to exist for a while, because he's going to want to hit you hard with the photons, and then follow through with the hellbore. And of course, since you can actually double the engines when you need to for that last turn, you can double the engines, have the amount of power that you need to overload the Hellbore, and probably finish the overloading of the Photons. Obviously, you got, like any other ship, you have to have some energy management. You can't say, oh, I'm going to double everything, and that's going to solve my problem. Well, yes, sir, and no, sir. Even the Orion has limited functionality. You know, there's only so much it can do because it only has a limited amount of power, even it. Because if you double everything from the beginning, this is from the beginning, you can max out at 52 points. Yeah, yes, I think it's 52 points. Because I think it has two impulse and 24 warp. And so given that, you can do for one turn, you can do that. But with that, you're gonna lose three points of power for the next turn. You know, as they call it the cocaine habit, you know. I'm assuming David's actually showing me something which I cannot view at the moment. Sorry, Dave. But anyhow, so you know, that's usually one of the heavy hitters. Another, you know, there's certain, oh man, you can go crazy on packages when it comes to the Orion. There's some packages which I've never seen played, which okay. Interesting. But anyhow, got some fun going on here. Just got the spammers trying to invade our little thing. This, my friends, dear friends, is why I'm gonna have to email them again, because I mentioned this many months ago. When they first added this new interface, I complained about this, that we have no control over these spammers. You know? So, you know, I might have, okay, this is the first time for that we've had it for a while. So we'll have to wait and see. When it gets bad enough that I have to move, I'll move. But, you know, I'll live with it for the moment. Fortunately, that stuff won't come up on my screen because of I've got Chrome under really tight controls, including I have a little program called Little Snitch. So every single website, every single domain that the Google Chrome tries to access, I get queried on. It's like, hey, you want to let them do this? And I'll say yes or no. And when that happens, it brings up a new URL, and I go, oh, no. So I block it. It never gets seen. Though I have to apologize to the people in the chat room who might be able to see it. But, you know, at least it doesn't get out there on the live stream for YouTube. But anyhow, sorry for that interruption. But anyhow, some of the craziness of those packages of the Orions, back to our regularly scheduled program, is in theory, there is a rule when it comes to tournaments for Oak Disc. Basically allows, normally an Orion can only control half as many seeking weapons as its sensor rating. And that's, most of the time, that's fine. How often do you have more than three seeking weapons when it comes to an Orion? It's a rare, rare thing. The only time that this could happen is if you went crazy and decide to make yourself basically an Orion Zitty. Maybe I'm not sure that's a good description of it. Maybe a better description might be a Wind Auxiliary Battle Cruiser. Basically, if you want to, you can fill all the option mounts, all five of them, with drone racks. But at that point, the Oak Disc option becomes possible. I forget how many racks it requires. I'd have to look up the rule. But there's a point where it actually goes, you get the Oak Disc. Oak Disc, for those who don't remember this rule, is it's a system that can be installed on an Orion to upgrade their sensor control to be one for one. So in this case, it allows you to control all five drones. So in theory, you could give a nice array of drones, and you can fly around the drones with no issue. I think the reason why no one's ever chosen that package is because I don't see that package really ever working. Because of, for a Zinti, that works. Why? Not necessarily the size of the Zinti, though that definitely helps. One of the things the reason why that helps, well, it works, is because of, you got the four drone racks, but you also have the disruptors. So as you're using your drones, St. Patty's Day cruiser, yeah, thanks, Russ. That's funny. You can use your drones as mobile terrain, and when you use a mobile terrain, people are going running away from them, and then you can come around and you can bop them with your disruptors. Now, you can't quite do that with Orion with five drone racks, you know. I don't remember the rule how many drone racks you need to install on the Orion for the Oak Disc option to kick in. Whether it's four or five, it might be three for all I know. I'm just gonna see if I can find that real quick. Don't mind me. I'm just taking a quick look. See. Please tell me. Nope, that's the wrong one. Ah, there it is. Had to find the rule book for it. And let me just. Okay. That's fine. Okay, using the following rules, drones. Okay. And let me look. There should be something for the Orions. I think it might be in the Orion section describing the ship. Oops. Should be up here. That's just. There's an Orion. Okay. Bum, bum. Okay. There it is. Okay. If an Orion ship has at least three drone racks, it's automatically equipped with Oak Disc, and an Orion ship selects a Type D rack for one or more of its options, can swap Type 4s, drones number 3, but does not gain a scatter pack. So basically, you can do the whole swap thing. If I recall correctly, it allows you to do 2 with just a regular drone ship. Yeah, I'm pretty sure about that. But so you can actually do with 3. Let's think about it just for a moment. If you have 3 drone racks and 2 disruptors, would that work? It basically, what you've got at that point is you've got a light, a Zinni light is what you've got. Doesn't have quite as many drones as a Zinni. Doesn't quite have as many disruptors, or has half as many disruptors as a Zinni. So, would that make sense? Maybe. Let me bring that up for a moment. I just want to check one thing, which is the plasmas. Because I think what you can do is actually have 2. You might be able to do something which might actually work. And I just want to say, I don't think you put them in the wing mounts. Okay, right. You can't put it in the wing mounts. But you can put it in the front. Right. Okay. So what I'm thinking about is that if you had an Orion ship with 3 drone racks and 2 plasma Fs. So you have a close in with the drones, you know, and if you want to, you can use the Steaking weapons, obviously. You could use actually, in that case, what you probably want to do is, I have not tried this, and this might actually be an interesting ship. 3 drone racks and 2 photons. I understand that if one of the photons goes, you're in trouble. But here's the beauty of it. You can still have the firepower of disruptors, of 4 disruptors in two weapons. Because that's the way things were designed when it comes to photons versus disruptors, is that the photon can do as much damage as a disruptor. Basically, a disruptor can fire every turn, but a photon can fire every other turn and produce twice as much damage. So, overall, except for I think range one. I think it's range one where it kicks up to 10 per. Yeah, right. Because it's 6, 8, and then 10. In which case, then it gets overboard. But you know, I think that might be an interesting ship to fly, in my mind. But then you have the whole crazy of like you have a fusion beam, a photon, a disruptor, and like 2 phasers. You know, actually no. No, in that case, you'd have like a fusion beam, a photon, a hellbore, a drone rack, and a phaser. Because you have the fusion beam and the drone rack to protect the heavier weapons, but of course that decreases the amount of firepower. You know, That's the key. And here's the thing. The Orion has something in it which only so many ships actually have in the tournament. And that is, of course, a cloaking device. But the Orions usually have an issue with that, because most of the time, an Orion will choose weapons which are direct fire. Normally direct fire weapons don't work that well when it comes to the cloaking devices. Because the great thing about a cloaking device when it comes to like a Romulan, what does it do? It will launch a plasma torpedo and then it can cloak. And since the plasma is self-seeking, it doesn't require any control channels, and therefore it could just go by itself and it'd be fine. You know, while direct fire weapons, you got to make sure you fire, and normally you have to be within range 8. You normally and which means then you have to come in, fire, and escape. And to do that, you cannot be cloaking on that turn. Now, I'm not saying that as an Orion who was playing with mainly direct fire weapons, that you would never cloak. There are those times when it's your best solution to a tactical problem. But I think I talked about the Romulan, which is the biggest issue about cloaking for some players is that they think it's a solution. Yes, it is a solution. But here's the one thing you guys always have to be careful for, which is you have to make sure that you have a plan to uncloak. Because normally what happens when you cloak? When you cloak, that requires you to go really slow. And it's not because of in some cases you go really slow to break the lock on. But after the lock on, you still can't go that fast because of the cloaking device is taking up so much energy. And that's one thing I forget. But my assumption would be that if you double your engines, then you have to double the cloak cost. I might be wrong on that, though. But when it comes to... So... That's one of those things that the Orion has. The other thing that the Orion has, of course, is basically cocaine. Meaning that has the ability to double its power. You can double one engine or two engines or three. Now, obviously, it's a truly rare thing that you would ever double all three engines. The only time you'd ever do that is if you're going in for the kill, because of you don't have that many. Actually, I think it's actually three impulse engines, not two. When you only have three impulse engines to start with, and if you double that engine, it goes from having two from three down to two, and then down to one, down to zero, and if you ever have to tack, you need those impulse engines, because otherwise you will not be able to. You'll only be able to tack on the warp. Now, obviously, if you're sitting still. For an Orion, usually that's a big issue. Because in my mind, how often do you actually charge wild weasels? Not often. Because normally you rely on your speed because of the Orion is not just fast because of power, but also it's very maneuverable. It's got a turn mode of A. With a turn mode of A, it can dogfight very well because it's got usually a big advantage over most ships. You know, that one extra of movement can make a huge difference if you're in the middle of a knife fight. And then, of course, you have something which is really just dastardly. in that the Orion actually can hit has two hit bonuses, not just one, has two. Which now obviously you still have to. There's still actually a waiting period between hits. You can't do a hit on impulse two with another hit in impulse four. You have to wait eight impulses between hits at minimum. Of course, that's a lot of power because it's 5 points of movement, you know. So the Orion, it's very maneuverable. So most of the time you can rely on that maneuverability to outmaneuver your opponent. Now, see, here's the thing. I truly believe that to be successful, at least for here, okay. I was gonna say something that is for me, and I just realized it is just for me. You can actually do much, much more. Or at least do things differently because of each person has. In my mind, each person has a different playing style. Me, my playing style, I prefer to have seeking weapons if I can. Of course, then I like to play the Andromedans and the Saltorians both, which do not have seeking weapons. Shocker. But I believe, you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of ships are successful because they have tertiary weapons, i.e. they have seeking weapons. They have a way of distracting the person. Now, obviously, the Fed does not have it. The Tholian and Neo-Tholian don't, but they do have a tertiary weapon. They have their webcaster, and which they can use for an actual mobile terrain, which is one of the reasons why you have seeking weapons. You have seeking weapons to act as mobile terrain. The reason why you want the mobile terrain is to keep your opponent away from you. And when it comes to the Fed has a big deterrent that if you try to chase him and you're too close and he decides to hit, you know, if you end close on the end of a turn, he can, you know, pull his power into the photons to finish the overloading of the photons and hit and get you, which is what you don't want to do. And of course, the Fed actually has quite a few phaser ones. If I recall correctly, I think they have 8 phaser ones and 2 phaser threes. I think 2 360 phaser threes. I think I got that right. But so normally, you know, you pick the package that feels best for you. Because if you want to use drones or plasmas, go use drones and plasma. Feel free. Obviously, the biggest issue with plasma when it comes to the Orion is that, like, things like if you want plasma S. That requires 2 option mounts for 1 weapon. So you probably would never do that. It would be better for you to actually have 2 Fs instead of 1 S. Yes, the S has a longer range, but it also, you know, cuts back on your flexibility. So if you're gonna go with plasma with the Orion, I'd say use plasma Fs only. When it comes to if you want to do direct fire weapons, I'd say go for at least 1 package, which is relatively low. Maybe go for kind of a Klingon ship. Have 2 phaser ones, you know, on the wings, one on each wing, and then you have 3 disruptors. Not bad. The great, to me, the great thing about that it gives you a great deal of flexibility. If you want to go pure, pure direct fire, in that case, okay, hey, you like disruptors? Because I like disruptors because of the flexibility. That's why when it comes to, I like to sell Taurians. Because of the cell Taurians, you have the particle cannons. The particle cannons are really great in the flexibility of when you fire. You don't need to choose whether you're going to be overloading them until the point of fire. You can put, you can have 5 points of energy in that particle cannon, but you don't have to fire it as an overloaded particle cannon. You can fire it as a standard particle cannon and still have energy left in the particle cannon, in the very leaky capacitor. So, that's, with disruptors, it gives you the ultimate flexibility when it comes to energy, which is good, but also that means that when on your attack run, when you actually want to overload those disruptors, it's going to require quite a bit of energy. But that's going to be for any direct fire weapon. If you choose Hellbores, okay, well, you have a problem with Hellbores. You might want, if you go Hellbores, it gets difficult because of one power. To overload a single Hellbore requires 6 points of energy for that turn you're firing overloaded. So that's why most people, the Flyer Orions, don't really use that many Hellbores. Mostly I've seen them do a single Hellbore. Obviously you can do two Hellbores, but that's 12 points of energy. 12 points of energy. That's a lot of energy if you want to fire two Hellbores. And obviously three Hellbores is kind of nuts. And also it limits your flexibility. Most people, if you're gonna go crazy on that, what you probably want to do is have the Hellbores, and of course have at least one drone rex to protect your Hellbores. But what else are you gonna do? You gotta put a disruptor. A disruptor costs you 4. A photon. Well, the great thing about photons is that you can hold them. But of course, that means it still requires quite a bit of energy and quite a bit of time. So makes it difficult. In my mind, okay, the one thing I would actually like to try is basically the baby Klingon, in my mind, because I have the two drone wrecks which can be used to affect, you can build up a minor wall where you time it over 2 turns so that the drones are actually relatively close to one another. And if you yourself follow the drones, you launch them on the first turn, like towards the end of the first turn, and then you kind of follow them. Then the next turn you launch, they'll be either in the same hex or maybe next to the same hex, and you got it, a nice little wave of 4 drones. That actually wave of 4 drones you couldn't do because of, you'd have to have at least 3 drone racks. Why not try it? 3 drone racks and 2 disruptors. That might be neat. Or as I said, I think in that case you probably want to go 3 drone racks and 2 Hellbores. Two photons. I think that'd be actually kind of a neat Orion to play. I've not seen anyone do that, but I think that'd be kind of a neat Orion playing. I think definitely you need, when it comes to Orion, when it comes to packages, you need one heavy hitter and one light. Okay. When it comes to energy management, what's the critical thing here? The critical thing is that you don't overload, you don't double your engines unless you need them. I know a lot of Orions that I've seen play is that they will double one engine, just one engine, to give them that extra bit of power that they need. Usually, they use it for that extra bit of power. They use that for reinforcement, so that they can. Me, the problem, the problem I have with reinforcement, I have a really bad time guessing where to actually reinforce. But I think that's, I mean, you want to do that. And the only time you ever want to double both engines is either you are, basically you need to run and you need the reinforcement, or you're going in for hopefully the kill, because then you can have the reinforcement to survive. Because at that point, if you're going in for the kill, all that matters is that your ship survives and your ship is in better shape than your opponent. If your ship's in better than your opponent and your opponent's just wiped out, you're good. You win. And which is the whole point. So, and rarely, and never, well, rarely, as I said, all the time you ever might want to double your impulse engines is for that kill situation. Because you need that impulse. It's a very worst case scenario for tacking, I think, is an excellent point that where you need that impulse. Obviously, using impulse for movement is problematic in that. Here's always the issue with the Orion. The Orion is a two-thirds moving ship. If the Orion gets tractored, which is possible, you might be able to offset some of your slowness by doing an impulse. Because it was probably your opponent, if they're a movement cost one, movement cost of one ship, they'll be definitely using one point of their power to use it for impulse. So then you need to have that impulse to cancel their impulse, basically. It costs a little extra, but it might help in the long run when it comes to tractor if you're worried about being tractored. Obviously, it's additional cost, and you might want to try to avoid that additional cost. One thing that drives me crazy when it comes to the Andromeda, and actually, SFB altogether, is the accounting. Because you have, unfortunately, you got some ships that have like two-thirds movement cost. And what about transporters? Transporters, one transporter is 0.2 or 2/10 or 1/5 point of power. Talk about doing your math. Least common denominator stuff. Yay! But anyhow, so remember that, yes, you have lots of power, or can have lots of power at your disposal. But also remember that if someone gets past those shields of yours, you can be in trouble because you don't have that many boxes to protect yourself. And one of the things that you really have to remember, you don't have that many control spaces. It's not too many there. If I recall correctly, there's like three or something. Okay, I decided to bring up the SSD just for giggles, because I think there's the Orion. The Orion has, let me see, we have one bridge, we have two auxiliary. And let me see. I don't think there's any emergency bridge. That is correct. You've got three control boxes in the entire ship. So if you have only 3 control boxes, you can be decontrolled. Now, obviously, it's kind of hard because control boxes are only hit on a 2 or a 12. And if I recall correctly, yeah, Bridge can hit is going to be hit on a 2, and I think the Ox kind of going to be hit on a 12. So, this is great theory, but it's really hard to do. In theory, someone could, in 3 volleys, can knock out every single one of your controls boxes. Every single one of your control spaces, sorry. So, given that, you can't stay in the fight for long, then that's not what the Orion is really designed for anyway. The one thing I kind of like about the Orion is those rear phaser 3s, because they're the right rear arc and left rear arc, so they have 180 degrees of arc, and in some cases they actually can protect the ship if your opponent is going through your rear shields. You can protect your phaser 1s from being hit. So, overall, the Orion is an interesting ship. It's conundrum. For me, it's a conundrum. I've never really played the Orion because of I'm not going to say I have the issue with the double. It's picking the right package is always a difficult thing, or picking the right 2 packages, because you can choose the 2 packages, and then after your opponent, you know what your opponent is. Then you can choose your package. And remember, in my mind, okay, remember, you have to have 2 different packages. You have to have the heavy hitter and you have to have the fast. A low power ship. Whether you use those phasers and a phaser G, or decide to go crazy with, in my mind, the mini Klingon, that's what I'll call it, that, where you have three drone racks and 2 disruptors, that actually can be considered a low power. Now, obviously, it's not truly low power, just because of the disruptor costs 4 points to fire overloaded, so it can be kind of heavy, but not too bad. Not compared to a Hellbore or a Photon. That, to me, that's the heavy hitter package. Heavy hitter patch has your Hellbores, has your Photons. If you want to go like 3 Photons and maybe 2 of fusion beams on the sides, therefore your fusion beams can protect your Photons. Or if you want to, hey, why not get 2 drone racks, though I would think that you want to go against that. I think it would be, in that case, if you're using Photon, if you're going for 3 Photon package, go for 2 fusion beams, because of, you can hold the fusion beams for 1 point a cost. They're good for close in, which also the Photons, and they also, when you get hit on a torpedo internal, they will protect those Photons. So that makes it a lot easier for that. So with that, I think we're going to wrap it up for this evening. Just a reminder, I forgot to mention both the news portion, I forgot to mention at the top of this podcast, there will be no podcast next week. I will not be in town. I'm going to be going visiting my daughter. So we will not have a podcast next week. That's one of those reasons why I just desperately had to do a podcast tonight, no matter what, because I needed to make sure that people knew that I wasn't going to be doing a podcast next week. And otherwise, I wouldn't have been doing a podcast for like a month and a half. And I think I'd go through with withdrawal, to be honest. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.